Lead, God, and direct, oh God. And now, God, we pray now, even now as we share the word, God, you would speak to us and speak through us. Bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, God. For another day to worship you, we thank you. For another opportunity to lift our hands. For another opportunity to bow in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a right mind. Thank you for a relationship with you. I magnify you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now speak to us like only you can. And we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. The theme that God has given us for this month is first love. First love. On last week, we started sharing about first love and talked about the passion that comes behind first love. Talked about not just doing things out of obligation, but doing it out of passion. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not being here because I have to be here, but being here because I want to be here. Not here out of fear of what God might do to me if I don't show up, but out of fear of breaking his heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want that kind of passionate experience where I give him all that I am because I don't want to break his heart. Watched what got news. It's interesting. I told you that folks are, it has a statistic that says folks are addicted to Facebook. And they say the addiction to Facebook is almost as bad as nicotine. People get up in the morning, going to Facebook, and throughout the day on Facebook, on your phones. How many of y'all have Facebook on your phones? Sending messages all day about what they're doing and where they are and what excites them. Last night I was with Jovette and family. And Jovette's birthday was yesterday, so had the opportunity. We were at the movies, and I get a text in the middle of the movie. Says Whitney Houston had died. Then looked at Facebook. It just went crazy with Whitney Houston. Folks in just dismay that she's gone. Folks posting their favorite songs. And an apostle who's posting 5 and 6 of her songs. I'm beginning to meditate and think about that. About all of this emotion being given to a talented artist. No doubt about that, talented. But I wonder if we have that same kind of passion. That same kind of passion for Jesus. There are individuals who are already crying now. They didn't even know her. If she had walked up to them, she wouldn't have known them, but they're crying now. Tears. Said that to console Bobby, because he was so broken up. The divorce, but he still had passion for her. What does passion for Jesus look like? What does love for him look like? What does it really look like? If we were to follow you around in your daily activities, your weekly activities, would we see any passion for Jesus? We'd see some activities that look spiritual. A little Bible reading, a little prayer time, maybe a Wednesday midweek service, maybe a class here or there. But would we see any passion? Would we really recognize that this individual really loves Jesus. There's a zeal that comes with love, with passion. There's a zeal. There's something that moves you from complacency. It moves you to do the extreme. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It moves you to do the extreme. Could you be accused of stalking Jesus? I was watching this movie. I fell asleep during it. And the title was, "He's Just Not That Into You." Anybody see that? Said he's just not that into you. And here's what the gist of it was, is that these women are looking for their lifetime mate. And so they get introduced in different places, in different circumstances, some in bars and some. And so this one incident, this, she thinks there's something going on, and he says, yeah. He said, yeah, we should get together. And he gives her a card, and so she, he said, and then she gives him a card, and they exchange cards, and she says, he says, we should call. And so he leads by saying, call me, so I'll look forward to hearing from you. And so he walks off, and she jumps off the bar stool when he's walking away and says, wait a minute. Does that mean you're going to call me, or am I calling you? He said, well, you know, we'll talk. Well, does that mean I should wait for you to call me, or are you waiting to hear from me? Which, they go through this dialogue for a while. She said, I'll wait for you to call me. He said, that sounds good. And he walks off. And she goes back and sits down, and she takes its card and she tears the card up. And she said, if he don't call me, then we won't talk. Then a few scenes later, she's taping the card back together. Y'all following me here? Do you go after him with all you've got? Do you desire to hear from him? When's the last time you heard from him? When's the last time you got a revelation from him? When's the last time you desired to have a revelation from him? And you were so desperate for revelation that, listen, you gave up eating. You gave up TV. You gave up phone. You gave up hours just because I need to hear from you. Many, many folks get to that place when things are not going the way they want them to go. In other words, they get a doctor's report that doesn't seem favorable. And then they fall on their knees and they're going after God with all they got. God, you got to heal me. When relationship is falling apart, they're on their knees crying, Lord, you got to fix this relationship. When finances are acting strange, God, listen, I need your money. I need some money. I need you to fix this. But that is, as they identify, is just seeking his hand. But how about just seeking his face? Just going after him because he's God. Here's what he identifies. He said, listen to the church at Ephesus. He says, I see all you're doing. I see your work. He said, and I know how you started. I recognize how you started, and I see your work. You're still doing it. But you're not doing it with the passion that you did first. Somebody says, I want to correct it. I want to correct it. How do we correct this? How do we correct this? Because I don't want to be unpassionate. Is that a word? It is now. I don't want to be dispassionate. I want passion in what I do. Anybody in here would? Well, I want passion in what I do. And here's what he said. He says, look to the heights from which you have fallen. He said you were at the height of passion. In other words, you couldn't do enough for me. You had a heart of passion behind what you were doing. You had a zeal behind you, but now you've fallen into a rut. You've fallen into a routine. You're in a rut. You used to have a passion when we said worship. You couldn't work. You could listen. They couldn't keep your hands down. They couldn't keep your mouth shut. Now you're ready to sit down before they listen. Before 2 minutes are up, you're like, my feet are hurting. He said, what happened to your passion? What happened to the belief that I could stand you up? Listen, I'll be your walking cane. What happened to all of that? Where did that go? I hear you now. Well, you just don't understand what's happened to my body. I do understand what's happened to your body. He's kept it. Hallelujah. I said he's kept it. Anybody know for sure he's kept it? And if he's able to keep it, if he kept it all this time, I think he'll be able to keep it. He'll keep me. And what will he keep me? And he said, listen, I won't have to be nervous or anxious. I've got a word now. He said, listen, you don't have to be nervous or anxious or fearful about what's going to happen if I stand too long. Well, he said, I will keep you in perfect peace. What does he say? Get your mind off your knees. Get your mind off your back. Get your mind off your head. Get your hand off your feet. Get your mind on me. And I will keep you. I got one or two folks who believe that. I'll keep you in perfect peace. If you keep your mind on me, you remember what happened to Peter, don't you? Peter, listen, walked out on the water. Come on, somebody. He walked out on the water. He's walking on the water, walking towards Jesus. And somebody let his mind get off Jesus. That's when he had the problem. I can't get no help in here. Listen, that's when he had the issue, when he took his eye off the prize. Tell somebody, keep your mind on Jesus. 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 Let me go on with that, because listen, some of us keep our mind on the past. What happened in the past? Come on, somebody. Listen, I remember there's a place on 43rd and Greenway. Actually, 43rd and Sweetwater. Many years ago, I was driving, I had my Pinto. It was my mom and my sisters and my brother. We were in the car together. And I went to turn, make a left-hand turn on Sweetwater. And I did it in front of a car. And they hit us. I still remember where it was. I still remember which car we were driving. And here's the thing that happened. When I go back to that same intersection, how many of you know you can get froze up because of what happened in the past? But here's what the word says. Forget the former things. I ain't got no help in here. Forget what happened in the past. Let it go. Behold, I do a new thing. And it springs forth right up here in the desert, where it looks like ain't nothing gonna happen, where it looks like ain't no water supposed to be. He said, I'll do a new thing right there. Thank you, Lord. Listen, anybody know what it is when we look at the scriptures and we identify that God says, listen, he does things when stuff is dead. when he gets ready to bless a man with a being the father of many nations, he doesn't do it when he's young. He waits until he's old and his wife is barren. Y'all not hearing me here. When he went to heal Lazarus, he didn't wait until he got low sick. He waited until he stinketh. Y'all not hearing me. And then he spoke. Y'all not hearing me here. Anybody want God to be glorified? You want him to be glorified? Wait till it starts stinking. Wait till it looks like a mess that can't nobody fix. Remember Elijah? Go throw some water on it. I ain't got no help in here. Anybody got a real bad situation? I said, anybody got a real bad situation? Anybody in a difficult circumstance? Is that what the problem is? That's what your issue is. Look out, because it's going to get worse. I ain't got no help in here. I said, look like it's going to get worse. Now, listen, I did say, listen, let me go ahead, because I shared this on Wednesday. I'll share it today. There's a difference between truth and fact. There's a difference between truth and fact. Come on, somebody. Because you can't deny facts. Hallelujah. You admit facts. I don't live by facts. How do we live? By truth. The fact is, somebody in here has been diagnosed with cancer. That's a fact. You can't deny that. But listen, here's what you can take the truth. The truth says that by his stripes. Listen, somebody in here ain't got a dime in their pocket, don't have a dime in the bank. But you recognize that's a fact. But you recognize, here's the truth, that he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's a truth. Now here's what happens. Some of you are still in bondage. And the reason you're in bondage is because you're still holding on to facts. But here's what his word says. Jesus said this. He said, it's by his truth. He said, my truth, the truth will set you free. He said, if you walk by the truth, if you believe the truth and you act on the truth, it will set you free. Now, there's some of you have denied the fact that there's some stuff in front of you that is huge. Because when I asked you if you had any big problems, You better face the facts. You got some big issues. I got some big issues. One of my biggest issues is me. That's a fact. I don't know, I ain't got no help with me. Well, listen. I trust God. I depend on him. But the truth of the matter is, I got some issues. So I have to continuously remind myself of truth. Why do you do that, Pastor? Because if I remind myself of truth, it sets me free. What am I going to be? I'm going to be set free to love. Y'all not hearing me. Set free to love him more. Anybody want to love him more? If you want to love him more, the first thing you got to do is get yourself free. Give me Ephesians chapter 2. This same same church that he speaks to in Revelation, this same church he speaks to in Revelation, he begins to identify in chapter 2. Paul deals with Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, give me the message. Give me the message. Because we went through this last week, but I want to do it. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant life of sin. Anybody remember your life of sin? Amen. Amen. And go on, verse 2, he says, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhale disobedience. Anybody know you've been disobedient? Anybody know that part of why you're in the situation you're in right now is because you were disobedient? Hallelujah. Now listen, let me share with you, because I asked you if there was a problem that was bigger than you could handle. Disobedience is one of those problems. Well, it's bigger than you can handle. And the only thing you can do with disobedience is repent. I ain't got no help in here. I said, the only thing you can do with disobedience is to repent. Now, somebody said, what do you mean repent? That means, that's what he said in Revelations 2, right? He said, the only thing you can do is repent. And to repent means to what? Change the way you think. Somebody say, change the way you think. Change the way you think. You're not thinking like him. You think like him, not like them. Let me try that again. Think like him and not like them. You see things the way he sees it, not the way that they see it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to see it the way he sees it. Because he sees life in dead stuff. Let me try that again. I said he sees life in dead stuff. Things that look dead, he says, they're still life. What do you mean? You remember Ezekiel, don't you? In the valley of dry bones. Y'all not hearing me here. Listen, he said, what do you see, man? He said, listen, I see dry bones. They dead bones, all these dead bones around here. He said, well, will these bones live? She said, I don't know. He said, only you know. He said, speak to the bones. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Speak to it. Well, what is he going to speak? He going to speak truth. Y'all not hearing me. Listen, somebody needs to speak truth to your situation. You need to speak truth to your circumstance. You need to speak truth. Verse 3. See, we all did it. All of us. We did what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing. Some of us are still doing that. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Whew, thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Anybody know he's been merciful to you? Listen, and if you hold on to that thought, hold on to the fact that he's been merciful. How can you help but love him? How can you help but not move with zeal? You know what it is? You forget about mercy. And you start hearing the world say, you're lucky. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I want to tell you, yeah, you lucky. Yeah, I am lucky. No, I'm not. I'm blessed. He's been merciful to me. That's why I keep moving, is because I'm blessed. He's shown me favor. Come on, somebody. He's shown me favor. I could be one of the statistics, but he's shown me mercy. Anybody know you could be one of the statistics? But he showed me mercy. Verse 4. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible, what? Love. Anybody know he loves you incredibly? I said, do you know he loves you incredibly? When you recognize he loves you incredibly, there's a posture that comes from knowing you are loved immensely. That means that there are some things that come your way. There are some things that come in your direction that don't seem like they're loving. But because of this truth, you continue to move in it. And while others are saying you should curse your God and die, you're saying he loves me. I don't know what you're talking about. He loves me immensely. Listen. I understand that if this earthly house is forsaken, he's prepared for me a place. Anybody know you're loved that way? Listen, if I've got to say farewell to you, it's all right because he loves me. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with him. Anybody know that for sure? Listen, he loves me. He loves me. Indoors or outdoors, he loves me. Mountaintop or the valley, he loves me. Y'all not hearing me. Hospital, hospice, or at home, he loves me. He loves me. Verse 5. He said, he embraced us. He took our sin, dead lives, and made us alive in Christ. Alive in Christ Jesus. Anybody feel and know you're alive? I said, I have life. I have life. Whenever I'm able to open my mouth, I realize I have another opportunity. I have life. Old folks used to say it this way. If I can't say a word, I can show you life. Y'all not hearing me here. If I can't say a word, I can show you life. Well, I can lift my hands as a testimony that he's given me. And here's the truth. Here's the second part of this. He did all this on his own with no help from us. He did it all by himself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't take credit for it. You can't take credit for it. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. But you can't take credit for this. Come on, somebody. Listen, I recognize you did the best you could, but he gave me life. Uh-oh. He gave me new life. So we are living witnesses that because he gave you life and you showed me life, but you couldn't give it to me. How many recognize you grew up in a Christian home, but they couldn't give you a relationship with Jesus? You had to get one for yourself. Hallelujah. There's some folks right now still don't have one for themselves. But I have life. You know how you recognize that you have life for yourself and that God has given it to you? Is that you don't have to hear mama say, get up and go to church. You don't have to hear her say, listen, you need to go to Sunday school. You need to go get some Bible reading. Listen, if they still rehearsing that with you, you still ain't got life. Y'all not hearing me here. If folks still got to tell you to come to prayer meeting and the Bible study, listen, you don't have life yet. But when you show up because you have life, y'all not hearing me here, because you have life, I have relationship with him, and I desire to be in the body. I desire to be connected with other believers. I desire to be in the presence, because he said he dwells in the presence, the praises of his people. Anybody know that? And so wherever his people are gathered, I want to be in the midst, because I'm one of his people. Number six. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. What did it say? He put us in the company of Jesus. I said, he put us in the company with Jesus. Somebody said, where am I? I'm seated next to Jesus. Uh-oh, y'all didn't hear me. Tell them, I'm seated next to Jesus. I don't know where you are, but I'm seated next to Jesus. And listen, because I'm seated next to Jesus, I see what he sees. Y'all not hearing me here. Because I'm seated next to Jesus, I see what he sees. You remember what the scripture says, I believe in Corinthians, he says, it does not yet appear what you shall be, but you shall be like him. He said, listen, he said this, he said that we could not understand everything. He said, but the Spirit, which searches all things, knows all things, is able to reveal to you what's really going on. I said, the Spirit can tell you what's really going on. I ain't got no help in here. I said, he can tell you what's really going on. There's some folks who are oblivious to what's really going on. They're looking on the outside, but the Spirit would reveal to you what's really happening. I ain't got no help in here. What's really happening? Verse 7. Now God has us where he wants us. With all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Woo, thank you, Lord. Anybody know he has you where he wants you? You know he has you where he wants you. Not because things are going real good, not because things are working out the way you want to, but you know this is where you know, as the word says, that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by God. And because you are righteous, you recognize I'm in the right place. I'm at the right time. He said, listen, I placed you there. I'm with you. I've never forsaken you. I'm going with him. We're going to get through this. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm better than a conqueror. Y'all not hearing me here. I wish I'd get one or two folks to speak truth and tell somebody, I ain't defeated. I am not defeated. You might see some tears coming out of my eyes because it hurts, but I ain't defeated. I'm not defeated. I'm not defeated. Not defeated. I'm not defeated. I'm not defeated. Christ Jesus who lives in me. I'm not defeated. Verse 8. He says, same saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is, I said, all we do is trust him enough to let him do. Anybody trust him enough to let him do it? Let him do it. It's God's gift from the start to the finish. I say it's start to the finish. From the start, listen, it's not over until he says it's. There's some folks who are trying to end it. You know how we try to end it? We call it retirement. They call it retirement. That means I'm gonna sit back and wait till it's time for me to go home. Tell somebody you ain't finished yet. Come on, tell them you ain't finished yet. I know you want to be finished, but it ain't finished yet. You still breathing. Come on, somebody. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over. Take a breath. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. So listen, there's still souls that are waiting to hear your testimony. There's still individuals who are waiting to hear God's glory come from your mouth. There's still folks who are waiting for you to stop sitting there like a bump on a log and go ahead and recognize it's not over. Oh, let me say this. Let me go ahead. Listen, there's some of you who thought it was over because of divorce. It ain't over. Some of you who thought it was over because you had financial ruin, it ain't over. Oh, come on, somebody. You thought it was over when somebody left. It's not over. Enemy would have you to believe because somebody died, I don't know how I was going to make it through. It's not over. Mama left me. It's not over. Daddy left. It's not over. Grand, it's not over. Nine. So we don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. I think I might end up closing on this one. I don't know. We'll see. Can I tell you what happens? It is so refreshing when you see a new believer who comes in, and they come in with this zeal. They come in with this humility and desire to do whatever they can do for God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They come in with all, they are on fire to with God. I watch individuals, sometimes I've been to churches who are primarily recovery churches. That means they've been delivered from alcohols, drugs, all kind of stuff. And you walk in there and it's a charged atmosphere. Listen, they don't understand church protocol. They're not trying to understand they just know Jesus saved them. They're not trying to impress nobody by what they wear or where they came from. They're just rejoicing because God delivered them. They've got their hands lifted and raised. Listen, I watched them do cartwheels all over the church. I've seen them, listen, they come in whatever they have. They just rejoice because they're so glad that he has delivered them. And then, they go through the process. And a few years down the line, the zeal that they had starts to wane. Because they start get a job and get a few dollars and get this discipline, and now they're disciplined and they're doing real well with their lives, and they go through this process because now, oh, I got this life now. I know how to do this. And so they make sure that they pray in the morning and read their scriptures and go to their jobs, and then they do the bare essentials. With a little bit of fire. Somebody say, what happened? They forgot about the person. They forgot about what they were delivered from. They done found a spouse and got chillings now, and got a load, and now they're just going through the motions. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever forget from where you came? Yeah. Somebody said, "Well, no." Yeah. Well, that means yes. Because the process says you will forget. And you know how it comes across? You start looking at folks as if, why are you acting like that? They start looking at folks and asking, why would you make all of that noise? And why are you crying and carrying on? Why? That's not necessary. But listen, if you really came to understand it, don't you think you'd be crying all the time? Yeah. Not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. Listen, we'd be crying all the time. Listen, you'd be lifting your hands every time you got the chance. Because I remember, I know where I would have been if he had not brought me out. I've got to tell him thank you again and again. I have a memory bank that allows me. I got a thank you memory bank. I got a memory card that's all for thank you. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for bringing me out. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for changing my mind. Thank you for changing my circumstances. Thank you. I dare you to just walk around your place of abode, your house, your pad, and just begin to recognize you didn't do it. Thank you. Thank you. I turned on the water. Thank you. Come on, somebody. Listen, I flushed the toilet. Thank you. I opened the refrigerator. Thank you. Listen, I brush my teeth. Thank you. I make up a bed. Thank you. Come on, somebody. Listen, because there was a time I was sleeping on the floor. Thank you. There was only one or two pairs of shoes in the car. Thank you. Come on, somebody. Listen, I didn't have a wife and children. Thank you. I didn't have a roof. It was somebody else's roof. Thank you. I had a toaster oven. Thank you. I had toaster oven and commodity cheese and a loaf of bread. Thank you. I was that close to not graduating. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody said, well, then why you do all you do? Because I owe him. I owe him. I owe him. I owe him. Why do you owe him? You don't know what he's done for me. You don't recognize what he brought me through. You don't understand how messed up my mind was. Whew. I listen, I'm getting all excited over here because I'm remembering what folks said about me. I shouldn't be pastoring right now because of what folks said about me. And some of it was true, but they said about, come on somebody, but it wasn't up to them. I wish I could get one or two folks. It wasn't up to them. God had a plan. He had a purpose and he had a destiny. He said, I know the way that I have planned. It's going to take you to an expected end. Anybody know he's taking you to an expected end? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See my good friend back there, Brother Curtis. And I remember. Oh, yeah, I remember. He was my street running buddy. Yeah. But God. Y'all not hearing me. I said, but God. Come on, somebody. I could have been strung out, but God. I ain't got no help in here. I'm looking for some folks who listen, who are like those children who were out there. They couldn't be consoled. They couldn't be kept down. They couldn't be held down. They said, listen, I got to say thank you. I got to lift my hand. I got to open my mouth. I've got to let the world know he delivered me. Who delivered me? He, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he delivered me. When I was out, he delivered me. When I was down, he... Somebody say, I'm delivered. Lord woke me up early. Yesterday morning gave me three questions. I want you to write these three questions down if you've got some. The first one was, how grateful are you? How grateful are you? Next one was, what's the motivation behind what you do? What's the motivation behind what you do? These are questions that you have to ask yourself. I can't answer it for you. The last one, what does God want from me? What does God want from me? Can I tell you You know what he wants from you. So, Pastor, I don't know. Yeah, you do. You do know what he wants from you. The problem is you don't want to give him what he wants from you. He's passive. No, I don't. Yeah. You're giving him what you want him to have. But you know what he wants from you. I'm prophetic right now. You know what he wants from you. You half-stepping. You making excuses. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You identifying what your weakness is. He said, listen, right now, I just want you to trust me and do what I'm giving you to do. Trust me. Can I tell you there's some folks who are in bondage because you won't trust them? Can I tell you what you're trying to do? You're trying to clean up your own past. You're trying to fix your own reputation. Been there. You can't clean up your own reputation. Because if you could, it'd already be clean. Somebody say, it is what it is. He didn't call you for what you were going to be. He called you where you work. He knew who you were and what you had done. Can I get some help in here? He already knew your issues. Listen, there's no secrets with him. He already knew your circumstance. He already knew your issues. He already knew your addictions. He already knows your tendencies. He knows all about it. That's nothing. That's not news to him. He called you anyway. He says, just trust me. Just trust me. I got convicted. I was watching. It's funny how you can watch certain programs and get convicted. I was watching Dr. Oz. And there was this gentleman on there who talked about these things to do to get yourself healthy and all that stuff. And the last thing he got to was a journal. And he said, this is my gratitude journal. He said, every day before I sleep, I open up my gratitude journal and I write down three things that I'm grateful for. Every day. Three things that I'm grateful for. I've said this before, and y'all have heard me say that. A short pencil is better than a long memory. Do you think that our lives might be a little richer if we had a gratitude journal? Because the minute you go to complain, you grab your gratitude journal. Y'all following me here? The minute you want to let somebody have it, you grab your gratitude. Y'all following me here? Some of y'all need to run out of here and run to the store and get a journal so you can have a gratitude journal. Because once I get the gratitude journal, I know I'll be able to move with passion. My mother keeps a journal. I have a journal. I have a couple of journals, and I go through them. They're not a gratitude journal. They're just journal. I write, and I write. Sometimes they're prayers, and sometimes they're things that God is. And then when I go back to look at the stuff that I didn't know how it was going to work out, and I read, and I'm like, you did that? You can handle this. You did this? You can handle this. Come on, somebody. Somebody, I see some of y'all going now on your Rolodex thinking about what God has done. Come on, stand to your feet. We're ready to go. Just before we go, I want to invite somebody who may not have made a declaration and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The altar workers are coming. My first plea are to those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I invite you to come. My second plea are to those who have accepted him, but you're without a church home. You need a place where you can connect with other believers who can walk with you in this journey, this path that God is leading. We invite you to join us. We are Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching fellowship. We invite you to come. And then the last plea is going to be a challenging plea. It's for those of you who recognize that you haven't really been operating out of love. You've been operating out of obligation. You've been complying, but it's really not heartfelt compliance. I invite you to come to the altar and join with one of these as we pray with you, that your mindset, the way that you view things, can change. That you can renew. David said it this way: renew the right spirit within me. If David said that, come on, somebody. I said, if David had to say that, and he was a man after God's own heart, listen, it's all right for you to say it. I need the right spirit. I ain't got the right spirit right now. I've been doing some stuff, but it ain't even the right spirit. I'm as guilty as those, that church of Ephesus, where they were just doing stuff, but there was no love in it. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. If that's you, come on. Just make your way out.